You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
All right, let's start with this. South Africa's path to exiting the Financial Action Task Force grey list may extend beyond June next year and possibly even into October as regulatory compliance demands continue to grow. Now, add to all of this the upcoming mini-budget this week, and all of this is playing a pivotal role in shaping the country's financial stability amid escalating deficits and economic challenges. With me now, economist Davi Ruit from the Efficient Group, a regular guest on this program. Davi, welcome to you. What's your sense then about the grey list, sooner or later?
Gentlemen, good afternoon to you. I probably think a little bit later. I don't think we're going to see, it's a bit of like the end of next year we will be off the grey list. I had the opportunity to be a speaker at an anti-laundering conference not too long ago, a month or so ago, and I spoke to international analysts there, and they told me there really is only one thing that we need to do. We need to take the Zondo Commission and just go through the Zondo Commission and charge those people that are mentioned in the Zondo Commission. Only doing that will make it clear that South Africa is serious about money laundering and so on. Well, of course, there are a couple of other things that are important as well. But doing that, of course, you need political will for that. And I don't think the prosecuting authorities in South Africa are really strong enough to really prosecute where necessary. Mm-hmm. But that is really the only major outstanding item at the moment.
And Davi Ruit, if that's the case, then if we have a delay in exiting this list, it's obviously going to have an impact, one, on investor confidence. You've been speaking to international investors. And secondly, it does have a debilitating impact on economic growth, does it not?
Without a doubt, I am in a game where I take people's money out of the country and manage it internationally. And I can tell you it's a huge slip if I have to keep on going back to my clients and tell them, listen, I want proof of your address. I want proof of the source of the funds. And the international banks make life very, very difficult for us. And it's quite often what happens is that the international financial institutions say, this is just too much trouble to do business with South Africans. They don't want to do business with South Africans. And all that, of course, adds up. And it's quite expensive to try to do business internationally. It is really bad for economic growth.
So, Davi, if I gave you 2 minutes in front of the Treasury's next ExCo meeting and you've got two slides to present, what would you give them?
I will certainly just put them the front page of the first page of the Zondo Commission and tell them this is what you need to do. Just follow the recommendations of the Zondo Commission and everything will fall in place. I think that is the single most important thing that should be done and can be done. For the rest, I think we're doing pretty fine. I think Treasury is trying to do what they can to get everybody to comply with the various legislations and so on, but just prove that we are actually in a position where we can prosecute people and everything else will fall in place.
All right, Davi Ruit, 48 hours to go. Then we've got the mini budget. How tight is that tightrope?
It's going to be very tight. Let's just go through the major items. On the revenue side, it seems as if revenue is under some pressure. The one good news on the revenue side is that the two-pot system is likely to result in some additional inflows to the Minister of Finance. But in total, I would say the revenue is slightly below budget. On the expenditure side, there's huge pressure on the Minister of Finance. One is that the state-owned enterprises, Telkom, the post office, for example, is one. And of course, Eskom is always there, and Transnet is also there, all want money. And of course, there's requirement for money for education. I know the new Minister of Basic Education, she wants more money. The civil servants, they've been offered 4.7% increase. I can't believe that the state actually offered them a 4.7% increase. And if you put all of that together, we're probably talking about a fiscal deficit in the region of about 5% or so. So a little bit worse than the minister envisaged in his budget at the beginning of the year. And that also means that the debt to GDP ratio is likely to be a little bit higher.
Go ahead, Davi.
What I'm quite excited about is a possibility that the Minister of Finance may announce slightly lower inflation targets, perhaps something like 4%. Not a band anymore, perhaps 4%. I hope so.
It's not just about the numbers and policy announcements, Davi. It's also about the tone that he sets. And he's going to have to walk that one very carefully, given that international markets particularly are looking for some kind of sentiment analysis here.
Yeah, I think so far it's not been doing too badly. We're running a primary surplus at the moment. If you exclude interest on state debt, then it's actually a surplus, which is a good thing, which means that the Minister of Finance is very serious in getting the fiscal deficit and the debt down over time. And if he can set the right tone, and if the international markets and local markets actually believe him, then there's quite easily another 100 basis points on the capital market. Interest rates, the long-term interest rates, can quite easily come down another 100 bips or so, and that in itself will be good news for the fiscal deficit and the fiscal accounts in general. So yes, it is important for him to set the right tone.
I'm well aware, Davi, that this particular speech doesn't address tax adjustments, but what kind of clues would you be looking for?
On the revenue side, there's really not much that he can do. Now, yes, of course, this is not the opportunity for the minister to make major adjustments and announcements as far as fiscal policy is concerned. But between the lines, quite often one can pick a couple of things up. It is a so-called rolling budget, so we can get a bit of an idea of what the future of fiscal deficits and revenue and so on is going to look like. On the revenue side, there's really very little that he can do. Perhaps something, some announcement on a couple of food items, basic items that will be exempt from that, which will be a bad idea, just by the way. So there could be an indication on that. And maybe on the expenditure side, something like more spending on a basic income grant and perhaps something on a national health insurance. And of course, the wage bill as well. But actual announcements is only to be expected in February next year.
And reports finally, Davi, emerging today of this fiscal anchor proposal supported by the ANC. The head of the Economic Committee, Mameluke Kubai, wanting more focus on responsible spending. Put your economist's hat on and explain to me why this fiscal anchor concept is either a good or a bad thing.
Well, it's a good idea. The fiscal anchor concept is a good idea because what it does, it's like inflation targeting. It puts a number out there. And typically what a fiscal anchor will be a debt to GDP anchor or limitation, like what the Americans have. The Americans got a certain debt ceiling, and they're not supposed to exceed that debt ceiling. What happens in practice, every now and again, they simply increase the debt ceiling. But at least there is a number out there making it easy for the politicians to try to achieve that. Personally, I would rather prefer a so-called fiscal board that's got a little bit more power and an independent board that changes, for example, the VAT rate to try to achieve a certain fiscal deficit relative to GDP, as an example. But yeah, I think it's not a bad idea. Treasury seems to be supporting that, but the ANC not.
Davi Ruit, economist at the Efficient Group, thank you very much indeed.